So. You know, as an adult, one of the things I've really tried to set aside is a lot of the sad memories from when we were kids, because some of the stuff, the discipline was really hard on all of us, and that was of strict nature when we were growing up. But I try to remember things like our family picnics and the car trips and the trip to the West Coast to go out to Oregon with our cousins and stuff like that. And the fun times when we head down to Vivian's and Blanche's, climbing the plum trees and eating plums until we got sick in the car on the way home. But
that's true, but you know, the other part of that, the corporal punishment,
yep,
which is truly what it was,
mm-hmm,
had such a massive impact on me that it completely dictated how I treated my children.
Ditto. Same.
And, you know, it is what it is. We all lived with it, and we had the experience of the belt and other things that were just not okay. They would completely not be okay today. You know, in a legal sense as
mm-hmm
well. But it really had a big impact on me about how I treated my own children and just trying to be a little bit more clever or a little bit ahead of the game and just trying to find an appropriate way to deal with discipline. Discipline's super important, of course, but that what we experienced as children was not okay. And it really, you know.
A good example I'd like to share about that is how I reacted to it was I was damned if I was ever going to hit my children, ever. And the one time that I spanked Christine on the bottom with my hand, I was so upset with myself for doing it. She had run out into the street in front of a school bus. And I grabbed her by the arm and brought her into the yard and swatted her behind and quickly handed her over to my husband and said, take her, I can't deal with this right now. And I went for a walk and I was gone for 3 hours. I was so upset that I had done that to her.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't remember it. She was 4 years old. So while it had a huge impact on me and my parenting style, I look at my daughter now and the way she parents, and it's kind of different than the way I did it. So it's, we learn from our family what we want to do and what we don't want to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's regardless of who's the who family is. I
right
think people
and
just
what
learn
the circumstance
that way.
Was,
yeah.
Right.
I can remember a couple of other really funny ones. Jim will remember this one. We were playing downstairs in the basement, circus. I think we were playing circus. And Jim's laughing. Jim was standing and in front of the wall that was like a cork board wall. And on the top half of it and the bottom half was plywood. And we were practicing dart throwing and we were trying to, you know, he's standing like with his arms spread like this, like the medicine man, right? Okay. And threw a dart at it and it landed right in the top of his head.
Oh, God.
That's what happened to you. You got a hole in the head, huh?
Jim stood there with the most shocked look on his face.
That's right.
He probably didn't dare cry out because he knew he was going to get in trouble if he did.
And I don't remember if I just went over and pulled the thing out of his head and he wasn't bleeding, so we were okay. And don't tell Mom, don't tell Mom.
Okay,
and,
enough of that game.
Right? And then Dawn and Joe had their own circumstances, siblings, with the cartwheels.
Oh, yeah. I had a cartwheel in the front yard and kicked Joe in the mouth and he had to have stitches all down inside of his lip because of it. I said, well, what'd you run behind me for? I wasn't trying to kick you in the mouth.
God, you guys had fun when you were kids, man. I had nothing. I got stuck with Chris.
You were all on your own, man.
And if he was here, I would have said that. The only thing I remember about sibling things when I was a kid was Chris hitting me over the head with a baseball bat when I was 9. And Jim was home.
I remember that.
And it wasn't intentional. I mean,
no,
he
was
trying
totally
to help me practice for Little League, but I was standing in the way. And I just remember, of the three of us, I was the one who was injured, and I was the most calm. Right. I'm sitting in the bathroom on the toilet with a rag on my head just saying, is anybody call mom, dad? I mean, just trying to get a hold of him. And I remember you and was it Ron came over that night or Doug, one of the two. And it was like, and they're holding this bowl under my head and it's filled up with blood. And it was like, whatever. Thank Chris God. Was a basket case in the corner.
I was in Michigan then, I think.
Yeah, you were. But I remember that and... Because the 6-year age difference between Chris and I, and you guys were all 2 years apart, so you all grew up together, and I didn't get that. Yeah. You know, in some ways I was in some ways I was actually closer to like Samantha and mm-hmm. Jesse and Jenny and Christine because they were born between 80 and 83, and so that was kind of like my sentience where I was starting to grow up and I was relating to them a little bit more as I got older and they got older. Plus, you know, you were in Michigan for a while, and you guys were all having your lives, so it was just very different for me.
One thing I want to touch on that was a very good memory, if you all remember this or not, but when we moved into the house on 1300 West County Road D, there were no trees in the front yard, and we used to play ball with Dad in the front yard because it was perfect. The traffic was not nearly as bad as it is today. But we literally would pitch from, or we would stand bat from where the front steps are now mm-hmm. towards the street. And
sidewalk wasn't there. The yard was bigger, and the road was only 2-lane. I remember that now. Now that you mention that, I'm like, oh, my God.
That was a blast.
Flying kites in the field across the street.
I remember sliding in the backyard because the hill was a good-sized hill before they put up the deck. And you guys jumping out the window when we were babysitting you. Mom,
who did that?
I remember Chris pushing me out of that window one time. But
you know, I remember going to church as a family. And always, it was one of Dad's things I remember. It was either the front pew or the second pew that he would bring us up front, you know. And I don't know if that was to... you know, make sure that we were paying attention or whether he was showing us off that he had this big family, you know, or that he wanted Father to see us or, you know, I don't know what it was about that, but, you know, it's kind of one of those things that, you know, I don't think I ever did that with our kids
unless we were late,
you know.
Oh, I did with mine. In fact, I sat in the second row with Samantha one time and there was a lady sitting behind me and when Father said, and this is his blood, she goes, he's going to drink his blood? And the lady behind me was just irritated. I said, well, at least she was paying attention.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
I remember the choir. Dad was in the choir. I remember that, you know, and always, you know, when he was in the choir. And so we'd sit in the very front of St. Charles, and you could turn around, you could see up at the choir, so you could see Dad up there. And so, you know, we'd be getting, you know, caught, turn around looking at Dad. Mom would say, turn around. And so
that Dad was a catechism.
Oh, he was in a catechism. He was a hall monitor. Yep. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
God, I hated going there because I wanted to sneak out so bad and I couldn't because Dad was in the hallway.
Oh my God, I have the best story ever about that. When I was in high school, Mom and Dad made me go to CCD till I was a senior.
So did I.
We all did.
But I remember my junior year or my senior year. It was my senior year. Mom and Dad were in San Diego for something for a vacation, and you were responsible for watching me, even though I was 17. Like, what
this
the hell?
Is, this 18. Is Jimmy's pointing at here.
Right. Yeah. And I'm sure I'd never forget this. You totally did it. We did. It was awesome. He was supposed to take me down to CCD, and he's like, you don't want to go, do you? And I'm like, no, this is terrible. It was like February or something, March. So I was 18. I was 18 by that point. I didn't have my driver's license because Mom and Dad wouldn't let me get my license. They were afraid that if I drove, my grades would drop, and I was carrying a 3.9 GPA. So I was like, you're not getting your license. I'm like, fine. I remember I took the car out while they were gone. I hadn't gone through driver's ed or nothing. And Jim was like, you took the car out, didn't you? And I was like, yeah, how'd you know? And he goes, because the way you pulled it into the garage is completely cockeyed. So for CCD that Wednesday night, though, instead of going to CCD, he's like, hey, let's go get some tacos. So he took me to the Sundowner Saloon, I think, on University Avenue, where I had my first beer.
You were such a good
25-step tacos. It was a blast. I remember to this date. That was 35 years ago when I remember that.
Oh, my God.
That was awesome.
That's great.
What a troublemaker you are.
Absolutely.
But I remember when we were kids and we'd get in trouble and we'd all get, like, shushed into the room. You're going to really catch hell when Dad gets home. And you two would screw off, like Lon and Joe, laughing. After a while, you just got, okay, we're in the room locked up together, and laughing. And then Jim and I are like, shut up. You're so going to get us in trouble, even more than we already are. You're like, just stop it. But you two were just like, just horsing around. Remember?
That was a thing. That was a thing. You know, you hear about that today, about how, wait till your father gets home. Mm-hmm. That was a big thing in our family.
Yeah, it was.
But
it
we was. Ate meals at the same time every day. Dad was the focal point for Dad. We wait till Dad come home for dinner.
Yeah.
And sit down
oh, yeah.
Dinner.
It was.
Meals every
and, you
day
know,
we ate together.
As we were going through these final few days, you know, with Mom and even before that, you know, you could see that side of Mom with Dad. And it was just, you know, he was the man of the house, mm-hmm. period. And mm-hmm. and so everything went through Dad. You know, and so then when Dad passed, it was like Mom was kind of like lost. She didn't know, you know, that she could be her own person. I think that's partly why she left us so early. Is she just didn't know how to react to being on her own.
Did
you know,
go?
And I know Diane and I talked a lot about this, too, because, you know, she kind of went from, you know, her mother's house to being married to Dad. And then 64 years later, she's thrown into this world of, oh, I'm on my own. What do I do? Right?
Without her own natural son.
Without her husband, yeah.
So, did we grow up in the same house?
Why is that?
That's not my perspective about Mom and Dad's relationship.
Well, mine was that they could look across the room from each other and make a co-decision on the discipline just by looking at each other. And it's like when they were synced in on it, we were like, in trouble. Forget it. And there was only a few times in some of our teen years where they got into... I remember one time when Dad stood up for me because I had swept the floor, did a shitty job of it, and Mom went ballistic, and Dad ended up sleeping on the couch for a few days.
Wow.
And I'm like, okay. I finally, at the end of the week, I said, this is okay, not okay. I would rather they be mad at me than how upset were they were with each other, because that was not the household we grew up in. I mean, no matter what happened, what we did, Mom and Dad always were in sync with each other.
No, I have a good, I have a memory, too, of the first time I saw Dad ever cry. And that was while he was having an argument with Mom about his mother. And now the it's all kind of come around to roost in regards to all of us. You know, when Grandma Schmidt got on at the end of her life in the last probably 5 years of her life, Dad every Saturday morning, most Saturday mornings, would go down into Northeast Minneapolis and pick up Grandma Schmidt and take her out to the grocery store or the drugstore, or whatever errands that she had to do, and spend pretty much Saturday morning with her. And for whatever reason, there was one time Mom and Dad were going to go out on a Friday night, and Grandma Schmidt had something else come up, whether it was a family event or she just didn't want to go Saturday. She wanted to go Friday, and she had contacted my dad, and our Mom and Dad got into a pretty good argument about it on a Friday afternoon because they had plans to go somewhere, and Dad was changing the plan. And I remember it was a really tense, and I remember Dad saying, what do you expect me to do? She's my mother. And it was like, he was crying, and it was like, oh, my God.
I do remember
that. It was such
a
just gut-wrenching, you know, what do you do with that family? You know, it probably went away, and whether it happened or not, it really doesn't matter. But I remember that moment just like crystal clear.
Mm-hmm. I remember that. I remember him saying that to Mama, and I remember that, oh, like here, you know, in the heart.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I rarely, I don't recall a time where Mom and Dad had, you know, if they argued or anything like that, I always remember that they went into the bedroom, shut the door.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Most of the time. Most
yeah,
of the time
I don't
they did,
remember.
It was very rare they didn't.
I remember Dad.
That's like only one or two times.
I remember one time Dad crying when we all pissed him. We did something. And I think it was like an Easter Sunday morning, something like that happened, And he was so upset that and then Mom pointed it out to us. See what you've done? I don't remember them ever fighting, arguing with each other.
It's funny when you brought up Easter, though. Huh? The holidays. I mean, you think about the great gifts we got from them and how hard they tried for Christmas. And Easter baskets and stuff like that. That just wasn't Mom. That was Dad, too.
Oh, heck yeah. Oh, yeah, by all means.
You know, it's interesting when you guys talk a lot about it, these different things, and of course I have a very different perspective on it. And to your point, Joe, when you said about the dynamic between Mom and Dad, when I was growing up, Mom wore the pants in the family. Mm. All of the decisions about the house and everything else specifically were made by Mom. Mm. Dad might have enforced those. And he might have thought that he was making those decisions, but he really wasn't. Well, you know, and I'm not saying that like in a negative way. Mom was very, very good about managing the household. Very good about managing the household and about, you know, about certain things. And I will never forget when I was about 25 or 26, Mom made some comment about, oh, yes, I'm very good at making your father think it was his idea.
But that was a flip because there was a period of time where, like Joe was saying, it was that they were in...
I think I noticed it. I think I noticed more of that, you know, what you might have experienced, Michael, after all five of us had grown up and gone, and or Dad had retired.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, there was some battling going on there when Dad retired.
Plus, think about it too. At that time, you know, I graduated from high school in 1979. Okay, and that had been what, maybe the 10th year, the failure of ERA. And the reality is, from the 60s through the 70s, the world changed. The sexism and the male chauvinism that existed when our father grew up and when we were children, that was no longer acceptable. It was beginning to become a new day. So when Mike's talking about his childhood, that was, you know, into the 70s and the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
And all of a sudden, Dad had to kind of wake up and get with the program. Which was a whole lot different than the 50s when they were a young married couple, 50s and the 60s.
Yeah, where sexism and racism and all that stuff was allowed and was accepted.
That's the thing. Mom allowed that through the 70s and the 80s because that's the way she
also
grew
up. Well, to a point. I think they both changed. Yeah. I think they both changed, and I think what you're talking about when about the time Dad retired, that there was a change afoot even with the two of them.
And even the political spectrum about how when I grew up, and into my graduating from high school, I always saw Mom and Dad as very independent, moderate, maybe a little bit on the right side leaning. And then as I got into college and they started accepting that things were changing, the times were changing and so forth. And then as I graduated from college and then, you know, et cetera, it was like, oh, they're not so good. Wow.
They're kind of liberal, actually.
They're pretty liberal.
But the interesting part about that is they did not talk about who they voted for.
Nope.
It was like they took that as their right and their pride as adults in this country that they could vote, and they didn't even tell each other often how they voted. They were that private about it.
Or Mom would make a comment like, "Yeah, your father and I just went and voted, and he canceled out my vote or my voice." She would do that. Just said that flip kind of your father. Yeah. It's always your father.
Or your daughter or your son if somebody did something wrong.
If you were in trouble, you were the other one's child for that moment.